on the 10th of August, they were arrested. What happened is, on Wednesday, there was three leaders left in the park because of concerns and other logistics that they had to go through. Some of the other ones had come out and were outside and doing some things, faxing the lawyers and governors, etc. So when the folks were away for that moment, police came in and kind of a stormtrooper their way in there in full riot gear, a special tactical force came in. And I'll mind you, this was a peaceful protest going on for, you know, just about 3 weeks. And they came in with full riot gear, trotting down about 15 special forces people for three peaceful protesters. And one of the protesters, Naniki Reyes Ocasio, who I believe you spoke to on this program before, she was on a hunger strike, and that was her 16th day of a hunger strike. The hunger strike was to get the attention of the governor of Puerto Rico. And they were treated very badly in the way of the very humiliating circumstances. They were roughed up. When the DA, the arrest, I mean, it's not like we didn't know the arrest was coming. When it was going to happen was the question. There was a discussion between the district attorney of Caguana, of Utuado area, and our lawyers, the lawyers for the people in the occupation, that when they would finally come and arrest the protesters, that they would do so and they would bring a wheelchair, because Naniki was having trouble walking at that time from being, you know, not eating for so many days. And, of course, they didn't come with that wheelchair. They twisted their hands, you know, and put them behind their backs, threw them down, and made her walk quite a long way. When they realized that she couldn't really walk, then they put her in one of the hammocks that the people were using to sleep in. And instead of bringing a stretcher or something like that, they were dragging her through the park. And it's quite a long way from where the ceremonial grounds are up into the street where the waiting police cars were. And, of course, the whole time they were, her and the two other people that were with her were saying that, you know, this is not right. This is something that shouldn't be happening. You're violating our rights this way. And they handcuffed them and shackled their feet. And it was a very bad scene. They tried to really just humiliate them the whole way, which really was unnecessary. The other protesters that were outside turned themselves in that next afternoon, or the next morning rather, so they didn't go through the same harsh treatment. But that's how that occupation ended on Wednesday. Basically, the court fined them. The reason why they got brought in in the first place was because they didn't show up for a hearing a week before, and so the court had found them in contempt of court, and this was the warrant to bring them in so that they could face charges. And basically, the institution that wants to that's really following up on this is the Institute of Puerto Rican Culture, and they have been really not supportive of the protesters at all, and they haven't been supportive to Taino interests long before this occupation took place, which is one of the reasons why they did this occupation, because the methods or the mechanisms that they had to try to get their concerns heard were just not being receptive. So the only thing left to do was to go to the governor. And turns out that the governor has not been so receptive either. But the Institute of Culture wanted to basically, in this hearing on Wednesday, wanted to make it so that none of these protesters would ever be allowed in the ceremonial grounds again, and which is a gross violation of their constitutional rights, their religious freedoms, etc. But the judge didn't allow that to happen, and they instituted what they call temporary injunction, meaning that during the during the construction of the reconstruction or the renovation of the park that these people would not be able to exert dominion and control of the park, at least, like I said, temporarily. But they would have even liked to have taken it farther in Tibet. Anyone identifying themselves as Taino or Carib from entering the park for fear of something like this happening again. But the judge wasn't going to go for that. They're still talking about this issue of dominion because what the Taino people are saying on the island is that, look, if some of our ceremonies call for us to stay overnight in the park, we should be allowed to do that. We shouldn't be hindered from expressing our freedom of religion. And they know that, we have the utmost respect for the park and that there's no damage to anything like that. And if anybody knows or respects the park, it should be the Taino community.
There has been surprising support from the bureaucracy in Boriken, though, like this judge, and there have been okay rulings throughout this process. So is this expected? Is there a history of Taino support on the island among colonial settlers?
Well, to be honest, no, there hasn't. So I mean, any of these victories are small victories, but they are victories. And I think that this action really was a defining moment for the Taino people on the island, because it really allowed us to see just where the government stood on the issue of the recognition for the rights of Taino people on the island, and also where public opinion stood as far as the news media, local support as well. The news media was a little biased in their reporting in a lot of the local papers, but there was a lot of coverage, so that was important because it really put the issue out there on television and radio and through print for the first time in a very long time. That something, and as a matter of fact, it's unprecedented, as a matter of fact, that this issue and the way this issue came out. The one thing that was very important from this occupation, the other aspect of it is that the local support was very important. There were some concerns for some of the people that the local community, especially around Gaguana, or in the local community in Utuado, would not be supportive. For example, why are people coming into our town, etc., saying these things, even though some of the protesters were from Utuado. But the local communities, since they're aware of the Taino activities and have participated with Taino people in artisan activities and theatrical activities, etc., many people knew who these protesters were, and so they had a lot of local support from everyone from the local restaurants to some of the outfitters. Like, there's a place called Danama Expeditions that takes people out on canoes into nature things, and they opened up their facilities for some of the other folks to have a place to stay while they were outside of the park, and so that helped out with logistics. So there was a certain amount of actions around local support, and I think that that's where the idea is now, to really garner support amongst the local communities and then attempt to meet with the governor again to try to take this issue to another level. On Monday, yesterday, the group went with, and this action has also inspired a lot of local support, in that a lot of the youth, some of the Taino youth now has formed an organization at the university and high school level, and they went with some of the elders yesterday, as the Congress in Puerto Rico, the legislature, is now in a special session. So the a group of youth, El Grupo Indígena, Juventud Indígena Boricua, they went with some of the elders, Naniki included, Nanique Reyes Ocasio, and they went to go lobby yesterday in San Juan and also to lobby the mayor of San Juan to try to get him to also issue a proclamation on behalf of the protesters and on behalf of Taino concerns. So it's generated a lot of movement, and there's also been a great outpouring of support from other folks outside the island, and even some Native American groups have said that, you know, we should call for a boycott of Puerto Rico tourism until the governor decides to meet with the Taino community.
We have received tremendous support. In fact, we have begun to receive support from folks that we did not really anticipate getting support from. The mayor of the town of Utuado issued a proclamation in which he calls upon all of the people of the island to respect and honor our sacred sites, and also to respect the rights of the indigenous people of Puerto Rico as well. And so that was a proclamation that we did not anticipate a mayor, you know, to make in support of what we're doing. We've received an incredible amount of support internationally. The Indian Treaty Council sent a wonderful letter to the governor. I'm not sure exactly who, from the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues from the United Nations, also made a call to the governor. There's been widespread support. You know, I think it was the Cheyenne people or the Cherokee people announced a boycott against tourism, supporting us. Mm-hmm. You know, and locally the community has provided food for the two people who are caretaking me, have, you know, basically opened their doors to us. It's been, while there is that sector that has been trying to ridicule us on the television, as indigenous people, we have that whole other sector that has been in support, and we've had calls from the environmental folks on the island who also joined us, have joined and supported us. We've had communications from El Campamento Paz y Justicia from the island of Vieques, also issuing a statement of support. It's just been a lot of folks, you know, sending us their prayers and their statements of support.
And did you expect that at all? Did you expect that your message would be sent so far, and that you would receive so much support?
Frankly, we knew that we would get support. I think for us, it has been an incredible experience. You know, to have received such widespread support. We have been in ceremony here throughout these 2 weeks, and we know that, as I have told folks, I know that what is keeping me strong and keeping me able to be coherent is the prayers that all of my indigenous brothers and sisters are sending me. And all of these letters of support, and our ancestors here in this ceremonial center are the ones who are keeping us firm and able to continue. So we wanted this opportunity, right, to also express our deep gratitude to all of our brothers and sisters throughout the indigenous world that has been supporting us and sending us their prayers.